Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Arise at first, Tatis at third, two away. Here's the 0-1. Arise takes off, pitches low. Naylor throws down. Fernando takes off. The throw home is high and not in time. Padres pull it off and get the first run of the day on that first and third steal play.
Is there nothing they can do wrong through the first homestand of the 2025 season? That's just one of the many ways the Padres have been beating people. Welcome into Gwen and Chris following a 7-0 homestand. 7-0 to start the season homestand. So we can tell you that that's never happened before. We've never had a Gwen and Chris. What's my name? I'm so excited. 7-0 Gwen and Chris program to start the season. 4-0 had been the record. So they've blown that out of the water. And they are now nearly, actually, I beg your pardon, they're now better than halfway to the all-time Major League record of 13-0. Three teams did that. The Rays did it, I think, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
The Rays did it. They tied the 1987 Brewers, and I think it was the 1981 or two Atlanta Braves. All started 13-0. I have no problem with the Padres, you know, breaking that record. Although I will tell you that none of those three teams won the World Series. I don't think any of those three teams even got to the World Series.
I don't like that.
Yeah, but look, we can think about things like that. They can think about taking a day off, resting their bodies, you know, getting a nice rest in their hotels in Chicago, maybe a little workout tomorrow afternoon, whatever Mike Shildt wants. And then going back to work and seeing what they can do about Shota Imanaga, a very tough customer, by the way, on Friday in game one of the series against the Cubs. They're going to be playing a Cubs team that has scored 60 runs already this season. Now, they played 9 games. They had the 2 extra games in Tokyo, but they just finished obliterating the Sacramento minor league ballpark
up
there.
Which really makes me feel happy.
I think they scored 18 one game. They scored 10 today.
Yep.
I think they had double figures yesterday. Anyway, the Cubs are on fire, but they're not hotter than the Padres. So that's to worry about on the weekend. So many things to like. And let's start with the aggressiveness on the base paths. Let's just start there. Because that play today got the game going, right? I mean, that was a stalemate for, you know, 4 innings. Ben Lively, I thought, had the Padres, you know, off balance with that breaking ball. They're out on the front foot. They're pulling the ball. They weren't getting much done. Dylan Cease, after kind of a, I thought his first inning, he wasn't really ready. Gave up a long fly ball, gave up a couple of hits. But after that, I think he retired 9 or 10 in a row. So somebody needed to break the stalemate, and who broke it? Mike Shildt. I mean, this is what's going on right now. Mike Shildt puts on the double steal. I don't know what Bo Naylor is thinking there. You've got Fernando Tatis Jr. at third base. He's one of the fastest people in all of baseball. You're going to tell me that you're not savvy enough to even glance toward third base? He caught it and just threw directly to second. He didn't even think about looking Fernando back at all. And credit Luis Arraez, who executed the play. It comes down. Look, Mike Schilt can call the play. The players have to execute the play. And that play calls for Luis Arraez to stop. That's what he had to do. And as soon as he stopped, the infielder, I think it was Schneeman, the second baseman. Well, the guy, he's from Vista High, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that. Schneeman, so I should make fun of Schneeman.
I'm not making fun of him at all. I'm just identifying him. But he, I think he reached over, you know, looked at Arraez. But then it's way too late. Tatis is in. So, you know, look, they've stolen 15 bases. They've been caught once. They have been caught trying to stretch singles into doubles a couple of times. Last night, you know how I'd say there's aggressive plays and then there's bad base running plays?
Yes.
Luis Arraez made a bad one last night.
Yeah.
He was on first base with two outs. The ball's in front of him and he tries to go to third. Cardinal rule, never make the third out at third base. Why? Because you can score on a hit from second. And you can also, with two outs, you need a hit to come in from third. So you don't, that's not the place to be aggressive. But the bottom line, keep doing it. You're going to make a few mistakes by being aggressive. You're going to get thrown out by being aggressive. But you're winning games because you're aggressive. 15 steals. You know how many the Guardians have so far this year?
One.
Zero.
Oh.
They don't have any. So, look, you go out, you take the game. That's what base running and aggressiveness does for you. And it also allows you to score 36 runs in seven games, which is darn near six per game, without really hitting any home runs. Merrill hit one today. That's his second. They've hit five on the whole homestand, and four of them were solo shots. Today was the first time they had a home run with a man on base. But it doesn't. They're still finding ways to score because they're aggressive. They're doing things right on the base pass. They're executing. Mike Schilt can only put the play on. Players have to do it. They're doing it. Here's the king of aggressiveness, Fernando Tatis Jr., talking about that mindset.
Kind of talk about just, you know, swiping bags and whatnot.
We have athletes over here, so it's a matter of fact getting prepared, getting ready, and go out there, have the balls to execute, and man, we have been doing it.
Merrill has that big home run today, but what about the little things that he does on a base pass and elsewhere that makes him so special?
He's just a winning player, simple as that. You know, he's going to play in the game really hard. He's going to play the game the right way, and that's why he got almost $200 million.
Does he buy you guys dinner then when you go to Chicago? Like, I mean, when you sign a contract, you have to, right?
Yeah, but, you know, he still has, he's not making that big money, so we can wait. We have guys that can take care of that meanwhile.
Unbelievable. He's not making the big money yet. He's just made $135 million.
I mean, compared to Fernando and Manny and Xander and you, Darvish, he's not making big money.
He's basically a pauper on this team.
Yeah, Jake Cronenworth now is like...
Yeah,
the lowest on that list of guys.
Look,
they put
something up there on the TV today about, you know, how long these core players are locked up between Cronenworth and now Merrill, who got, if you didn't know, and you're just tuning in at the end of the day, they extended Jackson Merrill this morning. Big deal. 9 years, $135 million. Jackson Merrill will be a Padre through at least 2035. He's got this year and nine more after that.
Ugh.
You've got Manny, you've got Fernando, you've got Jake, you've got Merrill, you got Bogarts. You got those five guys. Every single one of them is a Padre through at least 2030. And I like how people say, well, you got to take advantage while the window's open. Window's going to be open.
Window's going to be open,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've still got Cease. You've still got King. You've still got Darvish. You've still got all these guys. It's what we talked about in the offseason. While they were not out, going out and getting big-time free agents that you wanted and I wanted and everybody wanted, the bottom line was they still had all these guys. They're not going anywhere. And that's a big deal to sign Jackson Merrill. I would hesitate as a franchise to say, here's a guy that's played 1 year, and I'm going to commit $135 million to him. But if that guy's Jackson Merrill,
I don't think
I'd have to hesitate too much.
I'm gonna do it.
He's done everything right. His attitude is perfect. He works hard. He gets the game. He respects the game.
Mm-hmm.
He respects people in the game. And he's only about one thing, and that's winning the game. I don't think he cares. I really, truly don't think he cares about an 0-for-5 if they win. And you can't say that about every player in Major League Baseball. Here's how great Jackson Merrill is. And I'm going to bring up one moment from today's game that if this doesn't underscore the greatness of this guy, I don't know what does. Because while you and everybody else, not you, Scraby, but everybody listening, okay, while all of you are going to, you know, come home tonight and you're going to say, wow, Jackson Merrill, home run, two-run shot, beautiful thing, made it 4-0, second day in a row. You know what I would tell my kids if I saw that game today? I would say, bottom of the sixth inning, Jackson Merrill on first base, two outs, simple ground ball to third base. Jose Ramirez throws to get Merrill on the force play at second, only Merrill's already there.
Beat it.
He beat the force. I guarantee you, I feel way strong about this. Guarantee you, the rest of the season, you'll be able to count on one hand how many times you see a runner on first base on a regular ground ball. I'm not talking about if it's a play where the shortstop has to go deep into the hole and twist and turn. Okay, the guy may beat it. I'm talking about a regular ground ball to the infielder on the left side. The runner on first is always out at second. It's automatic. They never beat the play. Jackson Merrill does. This is why I would give him $135 million. Not the home run. I know he can do all that. But it's the extra effort and the just the mindfulness of Merrill. He's on first base with two outs there. He's thinking only one thing. If there's a ground ball, somehow I have to beat the play at second. And I'm pretty sure every guy says it, but they never beat it. This you won't see it again.
I was trying to, because I was back in the back cutting audio and stuff and watching the game at the same time, and I was trying to see if he left early or if he was on a steal or if
look,
he had a steal play on or something.
Look, it's a two-out play with runners at first and second, so the first baseman's way behind Jackson Merrill. He's not holding him on,
so he
can
bigger
get
lead.
A very big lead.
But still, it doesn't happen often.
But it doesn't even happen at all. I'm telling you right now that I said this tonight in the Dodger Brave game, somebody will do the same thing. And somebody
and
go,
we're
going to
see it like 150
right,
times
yeah.
this year.
You just don't see it. Guys don't beat the force. And what did that do? It loaded the bases and gave Gavin Sheets a shot with two outs to break the game open. And Sheets hit a line shot to deep left field. The guy caught it.
Yeah.
Fine. What Jackson Merrill did was still, in my mind, special. The home run is a home run. Those plays are what makes this kid stand out, in my mind. And that's not, I mean, he's fast. Don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of fast guys that don't beat the force at second base.
No, he's not the fastest guy on the field by any means.
So that's why I love this guy. That's why I'd be more than happy if I had $135 million to pass it along, which the Padres did today. So, all right, we're underway. It's going to be a great, we got a bonus hour. We're going to be here till 7 o'clock. Look. We got to take a bonus hour when the team's off to a 7-0 start.
And a Jackson Merrill extension, there's just not enough
it's
time.
It's been a great day, and it also, I mean, I don't want to get through this first segment because the happiest thing that happened in my world today was that Magoon Gwath announced that if he doesn't turn pro, he's coming back to San Diego State. That was my number one moment of this day, to be honest with you.
Until the Padres went 7-0.
The 7-0 is fantastic. Magoon Gwath, who was basically lost. He wasn't going to be in the program ever again.
I think I would take this news better if it was like he is for sure coming back next year.
Well, you can't guarantee it because if he gets something in the pros, in the NBA, he's going to go. That would have mattered where he transferred to. But he's taken himself out of the portal. He is now an Aztec again, unless he goes to the NBA. I have a few things to say about what that really means as the show goes along. When we come back, what I want to do is I want to try to encapsulate this 7-0 homestand. What did the Padres really do in this seven games? What did they do on in the field? What do they do on the mound? We haven't even talked about the pitching yet.
No.
Which has been insane.
The last two nights have been amazing. Or the last five nights have been amazing.
How about all seven games?
All seven. Except for the first two for starting pitching.
They gave up 11 runs in seven games.
That's pretty incredible.
That'll work. All right, so we'll talk about the pitching, the hitting, the base running, the fielding, the managing, the coaching, everything that has made 7-0 a reality. We'll put it into some numerical perspective for you when we come back a little later. My notes on a scorecard, which have become kind of a popular
The Crisello notebook.
Here's the Crisello notebook. I've got scratching all my notes from today's game.
I love the gingerbread man on the bottom.
Well, let me get the make sure that people can see
that's
the gingerbread
my favorite
man
part,
on the bottom of
the gingerbread man.
Well, this is not my supposed to be my notes on a scorecard. This is supposed to be my wife's shopping list.
And you've just hijacked it.
I've hijacked it.
Not going to have anything to write a shopping list.
Not going to be able to write the shopping list down. But we got all of that. Scraby's got a big five to tell us what else is going on. And so, look, relax, hang out, enjoy this 7-0 start on the home of the team that is 7-0, San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Man, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think just even hearing like an opportunity to sign with the San Diego Padres is enough for me, you know, but I also feel like there comes a line where you know your worth, you know your value. Listen, I know like there's contracts out there that are beyond absurd. They're super amounts of money, but having a relationship with a real human being and a real team like I have here, you can't beat that, you know? You can't just sign for $700 million and want everything to be perfect, you know? I got people all around the clubhouse that are supporting me, supporting my family, you know? They ask about my personal life every day, so, you know, I'm just gracious for that, and I know that's going to be the same way for the next 9 years.
The kid has it.
He has it.
He's got it.
Oh,
right?
He has it.
Like, I would expect like a 35-year-old grizzled veteran to come up with that answer.
Exactly.
Jackson Merrill's
got it already.
He totally gets it, and he's getting the bag. $135 million for 9 years. Padres extend him. Then he goes out and hits a key two-run homer today to help the Padres beat the Guardians 5-2. And improve their best start in team history to 7-0. Crisello and Matt Scraby tonight. If you're wondering where Tony is, he's probably a pretty happy flight to Chicago.
I should
there.
Track him.
You're crazy.
I don't know if I can actually track
him. You are
him.
Absolutely crazy.
I don't think I can track them.
Finds flights, and he follows where they are. Like I feel like when I go with the women's basketball team somewhere and I know you're tracking our flight, It makes me self-conscious that you're watching where I am in the air.
Because I want to know, okay, well, Chris has just landed. He needs an hour and a half to get there.
But what if I want to lie to you and say that I, you know, haven't landed yet?
Ain't happening anymore, buddy.
No, you're covered. You know what I'm doing. 5:22 is the time. But Tony is on his way to Chicago. He'll be with us for a full 4-hour show tomorrow as the Padres are get their first day off of the season. By the way, Dodgers and Braves are getting started here in about 10 minutes up in L.A. Dodgers are also 7-0. And don't look now, Giants are 5-1. So,
National League West.
Three best records in all of baseball. There they are.
Right there.
They're all in the same division.
There's only two unbeaten teams now. Braves lose tonight. The Padres are the only unbeaten team in baseball.
You mean if the Dodgers lose tonight?
Right. What did I say, the Braves?
Blake Snell has lost plenty this season.
Yes,
they're 0-6. Blake Snell is pitching tonight for the Dodgers, by the way. All right, here's a couple of things to just kind of numerically put it in perspective for you.
Real quick. It is the happy hour. It's now
time for the
happy hour, brought to you by GL Pools, the swimming pool experts trusted by thousands of San Diegans since 2006. Baseball is back, and so is swim season. Make sure your pool is ready. Call now and mention radio for a free month of pool service.
And don't just let that slide by.
No,
GL Pools, yeah. People. GL Pools.
Yes.
Find them online. And free month of pool service. I can tell you that's worthwhile.
Yes, it is.
Having had a pool before.
Yes, me too. And I have been in charge of the balancing of the pool, and I was not good at it because I'm not a chemist.
Yeah, right. You have to be a chemist to take care of your pool. That's a very good point. GL Pools will do it for you. Make sure you talk to these guys and mention the word radio. Get that free month of pool service. All right. Numerically, here's how it goes. Padres, so far, have outscored their opponents 36-11.
Oh, I need some music for this.
Give me a little happy Padre 7-0 music. That's your music for everything in baseball.
I know. This is happy.
That sounds a little happy. I'll go with that. Padres have outscored their opponents 36-11. They're plus 25 in the run differential. That is the best in baseball. Padres are 7-0 with a 1.57 team ERA. That'll work. They have a 0.90 whip. Walks and hits to innings pitched. And in 63 innings of pitching. Now, normally, if you give up about a hit per inning, that's pretty good. A little less. You want to be a little less, you know, maybe a few less hits than innings. Padres, 63 innings pitched, they've allowed 36 hits. Like, not even close to one per inning.
I was going to say, do the math for me.
it's not very many.
Yeah, yeah.
Bullpen had a scoreless streak of 23 2/3 innings. Second longest in team history. It was snapped in the eighth inning today. I want to talk more about that in my notes on a scorecard.
Okay.
But, yeah, the bullpen has been brilliant despite the fact that they finally gave up a run today. Offensively, Padres team batting average, .298, third best in baseball so far. OPS, .809 for the Padres through the homestand. Just for fun, the Yankees are leading at .1100.
Oh, wow.
It's early in the season.
Oh, well, that's the torpedo bat effect.
The torpedo bat effect. Thank you. We mentioned runs, 36. That's fifth best. The leader is the Cubs with 60 runs already.
They shouldn't count because they played in Sacramento, scored 18, like you said the other day.
I know. They
scored 10 today.
10 today. But look, my point is the Cubs are, you know, they're 5-4, but they've won 5 out of 7, and they've been crushing the ball. So the Padres will have a little work cut out for them when they get to Wrigley.
Suzuki, I think, has had 3 home runs and 10 RBIs in the last 2 days.
He had 2 homers today. Kyle Tucker had a home run in 4 straight games. That was snapped today, but he's been swinging it well, too. So there will be a bit of a challenge. We talked about the Padres, 15 stolen bases already, just 1 caught stealing. That is a percentage that will get it done. Pirates lead the league, though, at 19 stolen bases.
I looked at that today.
Yeah, they're running wild.
O'Neal Cruz is doing a lot of it.
Hasn't helped them win any games, but they are stealing a lot of bases. Here's some good stuff, because we've talked about this so many times. Runners in scoring position.
Oh, remember how many times we had to mention that 2 years ago?
2 years ago, it was a disaster. This year, it's been anything but.
Yeah.
.293 overall, but how about this? Scoring position, runners in scoring position with 2 outs. So you need a hit to score. Padres are hitting .344 in that situation. When they get a chance, they're cashing in. That's how you go 7-0. Padres have only struck out 40 times. This is another thing. They're fourth best in that category. But this is another secret to the sauce. They keep putting the ball in play. And that is what you have to do at Petco Park. We talked about Petco Park hitting. You know that the Padres, with runners in scoring position, are the only team in the top 20 that have not hit a home run. with runners in scoring position.
Okay, I did not know that.
They haven't hit one with a runner in scoring, but they keep bringing runners in. Line drives, gaps, left center, right center, down the line, swinging the opposite way. Petco Park offense. This is what they're executing so far.
It's almost like their design of how they wanted to approach last year has just been amplified this year, and they are like perfecting it right now.
And one last thing, that those are the numbers for you. If you're wondering, all the, I mean, they're all glowing numbers. That's how you go 7-0.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, music's good. That was great music, though. It really got me excited.
This music?
You just gonna keep it going? Do you have a name of that, or you just, it's a bed that
GC
you found?
GC Random Rotator Bed 3.
Yeah. I was hoping for a name of a, you know, John Tesh Orchestra or
no,
something.
No, I'm not allowed to, see, there. I'm not allowed to use that stuff.
Oh, I see.
Because I have
Oh, there's copyright infringement stuff?
And YouTube really gets mad when you use that stuff.
I have a quick trivia for you, and I'm going to ask all of you out there, and I'm going to answer it after the break. Who was the most important off-season signing for the San Diego Padres? Who was the most most important off-season signing for the San Diego Padres?
They didn't sign many.
Don't say anything yet. I want everybody to think that through. Come back. I will give you the definitive answer to that.
Ooh, the definitive.
Yes, I will. When Gwen and Chris continues, we'll also have some fun notes on a scorecard, recap, relive these two victories the last couple of days that have gotten the Padres to 7-0. Also check in on what's going on around baseball. So a lot still to come. Big five later. Gwen and Chris, a bonus hour till 7 o'clock, which makes sense because the Pods are 7-0.
Ooh.
Good thing they're not 8-0. We'd have to work till 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and when they go 9-0,
yeah,
we're just going to end up working all day.
We're in big trouble. As Gwen and Chris continues.
Thursday's show is jam-packed. We're going to start with the roundtable. We're going to continue to talk about the Jackson Merrill contract extension, plus San Diego State basketball making moves in the portal.
The Braden Surprenant Show, weekdays from 10 till 2 on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. It's Graby here for SD Fat Loss.
2-1, and the pitch to Arise swung on, hit in the air, deep down the right field line, taking aim for the Petco porch. Jones is at the wall, this one, gonna go! Luis Arise with his first home run of the season, yanks it out to right field, leading off the seventh inning, and the Padres get that run back. It's 5-1.
Yeah, even Luis Arise getting into the home run act. Slow start for Luis, four hits in the opening series. I'm going to bet that he ends up with about 196 more, maybe more even than that. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris Crisello. Matt Scraby, bonus hour until 7. Tony Gwynn Jr. and the Padres are on their way to Chicago. They'll open a series Friday against the Cubs, and they will open it with a record of 7-0. All right. When we went to break, I said, who was the most important signing of the offseason by the Padres? I don't think it's even close, honestly. And I think a lot of people were on the right track on the chat, taking guesses.
Oh, okay. You want to hear them?
Give me some of the guesses, and I'll let you know if anybody actually got it right.
Don Orsillo?
Don Orsillo. Okay,
pretty
good.
He did get an extension.
You know what? And don't want to leave Donnie out of this. He's a big part of everything.
Mike Schilt.
Mike Schilt's obviously a pretty big re-signing, yes.
Ruben Niebla.
Ruben Niebla, okay.
Michael King.
Michael King.
Let's see. That's about it.
No Nick Pavetta's, huh? I mean, he was a free agent.
No, I don't think we've seen enough of him yet.
Well, so far what we've seen was pretty good.
I got one.
Was it not? Who do you got?
I don't want to be embarrassed by this, but so don't laugh at me, because the last time I said Tyler Wade and everybody on the show laughed at me. I'm going to say Gavin Sheets.
Gavin Sheets.
They found a DH.
Big signing.
They found a DH, and they did not have one coming into spring training.
All right. Well, the bottom line is all of those answers are correct. They need them all, and they've all contributed so far. But the guy I was thinking of was Ruben Niebla.
Okay.
I just think that was the biggest deal of the offseason.
It is. It's a big deal.
And I don't want to overlook Victor Rodriguez either, the hitting coach. Look, here's the ironic thing. You know, both of those guys came from Cleveland Guardians.
That's true.
Right? So, you look, keeping those
think about that.
Right. Keeping those two guys has been huge as far as the Padres getting off to a fast start, I think. I you could ask Manny, you could ask Fernando, you could ask Jackson. I think they would tell you, keeping a hitting coach that they trusted, right? They trusted him in him last year. The Petco approach, you know, the hitting that, you know, took place all last season. To just continue that this year without having to learn a whole new approach and a whole new style and a whole new idea from somebody else, to me, is one of the reasons why they're off to such a fast start. And Ruben Niebla goes without saying. And once again today, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but I did. In the top of the eighth inning, the game got interesting for a second.
Yes, it did.
All right. Cleveland was down 5-1. They got a run in, okay, on a sacrifice fly. And they had a runner at second base. Next guy up, I think it was Carlos Santana, drilled a single to center. Hit the ball so hard that Ramirez had to stop at third. But now, with one out, Cleveland had first and third. They had the tying run coming to the plate. And Adrian Morejon had given up, I believe, three hits to four batters in his outing and a run.
He's been, yeah.
Do you know who came out to talk to him for just a quick second?
Mr. Niebla?
Ruben Niebla, the pitching whisperer, walked out there. I don't know what he said. You know how many more pitches there were in the inning?
One.
Ground ball to second. Beautiful double play, by the way. Cronenworth to Bogarts to Arraez. Inning over.
Mike Schilt said that Ruben was a Niebla's big league just a, big double play.
It was a big league double play. But whatever Ruben Niebla does is perfect every time. Right? He said whatever he said. It worked.
He, you know, when we sat down with him at spring training.
This guy's magical.
When we sat down with him at spring training, you can understand why people gravitate towards him because yeah. he has a very welcoming demeanor, yeah. And I can see him going out to the mound in a stressful moment like that,
yeah.
And totally saying the right thing or not saying anything at all.
Whatever
doing
he
what
says.
You need to do.
Yeah, and remember we asked him not this year when we interviewed him in Peoria, but last year, and we said, you know, what do you say when you go out there? And he said that's a question he gets more than any other.
It's interesting.
But he said he really didn't have an answer to it because it just depends on what's going through his mind. He also admitted that sometimes Mike Schilt sends him out there, and he really didn't want to go out there because yeah. He doesn't have anything to say. And he's thinking on his way out, what am I going to say? But, you know, look, whatever he said today, one pitch, inning over, game over, basically. Mm-hmm. And this is what Niebla does. And, you know, I'm not trying to overlook Victor because the job he's done on the hitting side, those two guys, you know, massive, them coming back. Big part of why I think they're 7-0. All right. Excuse me. Do we have traffic?
We do.
Oh, well, let's. Well, it's Thursday and it's Wednesday and it's drive time and it's San Diego, so we probably have traffic. Let's hear it. All right, some of the notes on a scorecard from the last couple of nights, I think, you know, bring to light things that you may not have noticed during the course of a game.
These are Chris Ello notes.
These are just my notes, random notes that I make when I'm watching a ball game last night and today. And I think, you know, some of them might interest you and some of them you might think, Chris, you are really weird that you even think of this stuff. But last night, I thought one of the big moments in the game, maybe the biggest moment of the game, and I know that Jackson Merrill hit a home run to give them the 1-0 lead. I know that Michael King was insane last night, 11 Ks in 5 innings. I mean, if it was later in the season, he would have gone 7 and he would have struck out 16. I mean, yeah. They were not touching him. So, you know, and they win the game 7-0. So it may not seem like at the time, but to me, the key moment of the game last night happened in the bottom of the 5th inning. And these are the things that I love about baseball and good baseball and what's to love about the Padres right now because they're executing all this stuff. Last night, the bottom of the 5th inning started with Jose Iglesias reaching on an infield single. All right, didn't hit the ball hard. Little bouncer over there.
He's made some great plays the last 2 days.
Well, we'll get to that play today that okay. He made was sensational, right? He hustles down the line. Rocchio can't handle it, whatever. Infield single. Then the ball, next batter comes up Lockridge, and Logan Allen bounces one in the dirt. The ball must have got about a foot and a half away from the catcher, but Iglesias was already on second base. This, again, is great baseball. And things that you don't, we don't, they don't, nobody scouts about it. Nobody says in the preseason
you know, prognostications. Boy, the Padres are good at taking an extra base.
Yeah.
But that's what you do to win games. He takes the extra base. That opens up first base, so Lockridge walks. Now there's first and second. Nobody out. Here comes Elias Diaz.
I think, yeah.
Whatever it is, I yet to quite get it right.
I think it's Elias.
I think it's Elias.
Elias.
I really do, but I mess him up all the time.
He comes Mr. Diaz.
Mr. Diaz comes up with first and second, nobody out. Now remember, he's your catcher. He batted cleanup for the Rockies last year. Now that is the Rockies, but my point is, he's not a great bat handler.
No.
This is not a strength of Diaz. Okay?
Not why he's on the team.
He's kind of a big slugging, lumbering guy, right?
Yeah.
Mike Schilt asked him to bunt anyway. Because there's first and second and nobody out, and he wants to get the runners to second and third with the top of the order coming up. Well, the first pitch, Diaz tries it, and he looks terrible. He bunts it over in the foul ground. Second pitch, he doesn't even try at it, and it's a strike. Now it's 0-2. You never bunt with two strikes.
Never.
You just don't, because if you foul it off, you're out.
Yeah.
So
they foul it off and they catch it, right?
No, if you foul off...
Period?
Oh, yes. If you foul off a bunt on strike three, you're out. You didn't know that.
Oh, I
huh?
did know that.
You
I did know that.
I'm sure you knew that. You just had a brain cramp.
Yes.
A Thank senior you. Moment.
Thank you. I am
yes.
becoming
if you,
a senior.
If you bunt foul on strike three, you're out.
I don't know why I thought it was if they catch it, but that's every play.
That's every play, yes.
Yeah,
right.
So you're right. I did know that.
Okay. So
let's erase that from the
All right,
memory.
So now there's two strikes, still first and second. You got lumbering Diaz up there. He can't handle the bat. Mike Schilt asks him to bunt again, and he does it. And it's perfect. And it gets the runners to second and third. To me, that won the game last night. Next guy up, Fernando. Fly ball to center field. That would not have scored the run had the runner still been at second.
Yep.
But since Diaz got the bunt down, 2-0. And then Arise comes up with a clutch two-out hit. We already talked about how they're hitting 344. And Lockridge comes in. Now it's 3-0. Now you're on your way. That's why they're 7-0. I know you think it's because of Cease and King and all the big numbers that are putting up. It is partly that. But these little things they're doing so well. And they're things that you can continue to do. You know, the hitting, the home runs, strikeouts, things like that, they come and go sometimes in baseball. But good, aggressive, smart base running, executing a bunt, taking the extra base, Jackson Merrill beating a force at second, those things shouldn't go into a slump.
They're all effort plays, too.
I think so. So, anyway, Diaz didn't do anything at all on this homestand to speak of. In my mind, though, he won them a game. And I bet you in Mike Schilt's mind it's the same. I guarantee you Mike Schilt knows that that was a big moment last night.
Bunting is not an easy thing to do.
Not with two strikes.
Not with two strikes, for sure.
And he laid it down, and that, to me, was a big play.
I mean, that's, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about it being the catcher.
Yeah, big lumbering guy.
Doing know, it with two strikes.
Nah, I thought for sure they wouldn't let him bunt. And later in the game last night, you know, they get three more steals in the, what was it, the seventh inning. That creates two more runs. Then in the eighth inning, Fernando makes an out but brings another run in. Leads us to this statistic. Another reason why the Padres are 7-0. So far, through seven games, whoever keeps this stuff, the Padres have managed to create 13 productive outs. That means you're out, but somebody scores, runners move up. You do something to help the inning along, even though you yourself are out. They have 13 of those. Best in baseball. Nobody's got more. It's just another reason why they're doing what they're doing right now.
Yeah, they're putting themselves in great positions when they need to be in great positions.
They're executing it beautifully. Jason Adam last night was another part of my heroic night. The guy's automatic. He's absolutely automatic. Comes in with a couple of guys on. Ended up loading the bases there because
he did,
he hit
yeah.
a batter,
yeah.
which was rare for him.
Very rare.
And then he just throws an absolute perfect pitch with the bases loaded to get the strikeout. Again, that was game over right there. Jason Adam. All right. A couple of notes on the scorecard today that I didn't touch on yet. Luis Arraez pop-up in the second inning
yeah.
that he doesn't come close to catching. Because it lands over here.
Yeah.
He's standing over here, okay? You could probably look at that and go, wow, that was a bad play. It wasn't. That ball was right in the sun. He did what he's supposed to do. And I'm not, again, I don't don't profess to be a, you know, a know-it-all about baseball. I mean, I'm not trying to sound that way. But what I've been taught, and I think what every outfielder and infielder is taught, when a ball goes up in the sun, you take your glove. First, you got your glasses on, which he had on.
Yeah.
Then you take your glove. You put your glove immediately into the sun.
You do.
That's where you put your glove. Not to catch where the ball's going to come at the beginning.
Yeah.
The first thing you do is you put your glove to block the sun.
Find the ball.
Then you're able to hopefully find the ball. And then you go over to where it is. Then at the last second, you bring your glove and you catch the ball. That's how it's taught. Well, that's what he did. It was just impossible. And the right field, first baseman, you know, on sunny days like that, it's happened before at Petco. Yeah, it'll happen again.
Definitely will.
So, and then, you know, what I like, though, is Cease comes right back after that and strikes out the hitter. Basically says, I got your back.
Yeah, I don't
you
care.
You messed up, but I got you. I got you.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting all down and out, he said, I got you.
Don't Cease doesn't seem like that guy to begin with.
He doesn't, but this is what team work is all about.
Absolutely.
One guy, you know, doesn't make a play. Pitcher says, I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. We saw it last night, too, or the other night. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, I know. Elias Diaz dropped a pop-up on a foul ball.
He did? Yeah, you're right.
He went over to the dugout, kind of had to twist his body around, and it fell out of his glove. So what? Kyle Hart just got the guy out. This is why they're 7-0. Another reason why they're 7-0. I thought one other thing to piggyback on how great Jackson Merrill is. In the fourth inning, when they broke the 0-0 tie, they got the double steal. That was one thing. But the next thing that happened cost Cleveland another run. And that was a bouncer by Manny that Ramirez backhanded, almost ran into the umpire, made a throw to first. Manzardo tried to dig out the ball.
Yeah.
Not a good play by Manzardo. First of all, he's normally a second baseman, and he looked like it. He's got to get down in front of that ball and block it and not allow it to get past him, because by letting it get past him, another run scored.
Yep.
2-0. Now what happens? What I think happens is that Ben Lively, who's been pitching great, but has now given up a run on a stupid throw by his catcher, which kill, and an error by his third baseman. I think Ben Lively lets down just enough. Jackson Merrill's the next hitter.
First pitch.
He jumps him.
Yeah.
He jumps him.
Yep.
First pitch. Now, it was a breaking ball. It wasn't first pitch fastball. It also wasn't located too well.
It was Jackson
Merrill.
Spot.
It was right there. But Jackson Merrill jumped him. Said, hey, this guy might be. I don't know what's going through Jackson's mind. But to me, if you're a pitcher, it's natural to have a letdown when your team lets you down like that. Jackson Merrill said, I'm going to make it 4-0 then. And, you know, bomb. There
he
goes
did
the
same thing last night on a breaking ball.
Well, this is it's wonderful to see. It's fun to watch.
I love that they're putting the pressure right on the team as soon as they need to. Because, like you're saying, with Lively, he's probably thinking, oh, man, I thought I got out of the inning. And now or I'm getting closer to get out of the inning. And now all of a sudden I'm staring at this. And so that's all going around in his head. And then he thinks, okay, throws the ball. Boom. Jackson Merrill home
run. You can't lose your concentration.
No.
If you're Ben Lively.
Even for that little bit.
Right? And he lost it, in my mind. He lost the concentration just enough to hang a curveball right in the middle of the plate, and Jackson pounced on him.
I don't think people give, side note, I don't think people give pitchers enough credit for the mental warfare they go through.
These are the kind of things that I, you know, I mean, it was a long time ago, and I know I pitched at a totally different level, but these are the kinds of things that you would do during a game. And you would have to try to convince yourself to not let down after an error was made behind you. Because when you did, somebody would make you pay. Jackson Merrill made him pay beautifully. The Iglesias play today.
Oh, man.
How about that?
OMG, Chris.
Thank you. OMG. When you first saw it, you thought, it's Manny being Manny.
It wasn't right? Manny, though.
If you weren't paying attention to the game, because Manny played today.
Yes.
But if you weren't paying that close attention, you know, you're up in the stands, you're kind of gibbering back and forth, you're kind of watching, you're getting a hot dog. You would have just thought to yourself, that's Manny again.
Because that's what he does every
time. That's what he does all the time. There's an old saying that's kind of funny in baseball. I don't know who came up with it, but I know it. And it goes like this. You messed up left field so badly playing so poorly out there defensively that nobody can go out there and play it now. The opposite is true with third base with the Padres. Manny is so good that even Iglesias can look like Manny when he's over there.
Yeah.
What a play that was. And give Arise credit, he came off the bag to catch and tag him. Rather than trying to stretch, he may not have caught the throw.
We need
7-0. This is what you get with 7-0. You want to look, if you want to celebrate 7-0, we just did it for you for an hour. And I tried to give you every reason I could think of as to why they are. And there's nothing but positives. It's just been one great thing after another.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what the Doomers are doing right now, because the Doomers, they have nothing to doom about at the moment. What can they really doom about?
How about this? Braves just scored two in the top of the first off Blake Snell.
Doom about that.
2-0 Braves over the Dodgers.
And the Braves had a stupid base running error. They ran into the third out at home.
They could have had more. But at least they got two. We'll see if they can hang on. And the Padres, when they land in Chicago, maybe they'll be alone in first place. Why not? Everything else is going their way. Second hour of the program coming up. You got a big five
Wait,
in
no,
there?
No, we got. Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to break.
No, but you got a big five.
I do.
Coming up?
I do.
I also wanted this programming note while I have a minute.
What is that?
Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., first of the year. The famous, and I mean, I'm talking like world famous. Like, they know about this stuff in Egypt.
They do.
Do people not overuse that term, by the way? World famous hot dog. Really?
Well, yeah.
Like, really? Hey, come on. But world famous Padre Roundtable tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So don't miss it. Make sure you're tuned in at 10 a.m. wherever you are tomorrow, because it'll be our first roundtable. We've never had a roundtable like this where we've had to talk about a 7-0 start. Woodsy is going to be beyond giddy. I don't know how to even control him tomorrow.
I'm making my debut.
You're making... Well, no, you did a couple last year.
I did
year.
One last year.
Okay, well, you'll be on one. Tomorrow. Braden will be on. I'll be on.
I have an issue with...
Ben and Woods will be on.
Our food order, Chris.
Well, why don't you take it up with me in the break?
Okay, I will.
I don't think you should be worried about it. Okay. You're getting free food. What's the problem?
There's no problem.
Okay. Well, you said you had issue with
it. I do.
All right, we'll find out what that is. We got a bonus hour of Gwyn and Chris, but don't forget the roundtable also tomorrow at 10.